Since we are in the habit of doing visualization this morning, let's do a little bit more. Imagine yourself, you don't have to close your eyes this time. Imagine living in a time when you can smell changes in the air. The tentacles of the Roman Empire is changing both the physical and the cultural landscape of the Jewish nations you were once familiar with. And there is new taxation and more taxation. And there are these Roman soldiers who would handpick someone, you, today, and harass you right there where you have always believed to be your homeland. It seems like things are going to hell in a handbasket. You hear your elders reminiscence about the good old days of a strong Jewish nation. Or were you reminiscing it as well? You who remember who you are as a nation and as a people once upon a time, imagine you were there. And stay there with me for just a moment. Some of us may find what I just described easy to identify with. For you or your parents or relative have lived through such a time of change and decided to leave what was familiar behind, to come here, to Canada, to build a new life. Some of us may wonder if what is happening south of the border, down to 64th Street, measures up to the scenario I just described. Or perhaps our own country too, to a certain extent. Regardless, if you find it identifiable or not, very few of us are not affected by the changes and threats surrounding our lives today. Whether it is political, whether it is economic, or whether it is environmental. And this is how this Galilean man calling himself Jesus captures your full attentions when he went on talking about the kingdom of heaven, which is essentially a survival guide living in your homeland under active colonialism. Have you ever considered what Jesus, whenever Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, he was talking about a survival guy living in your own homeland under active colonialism. What do I mean by colonialism? Classic definitions, colonialism is the practice of one nation taking control of another land, people, and economy for its own benefit. So Roman Empire was a colonial force. They conquer all these places. They are not actively moving their own people there, but they reap the economic benefits from the land. And don't confuse colonialism with settler colonialism. Settler colonialism is a system where outsiders permanently moved to a new land, displaced the original native population, and built a new society. The main goal is to take control of the land and its resources rather than just extract profit and leave. So, North America, US and Canada, Australia, and many other places are examples of settlers' colonialism. But let's stay focused, Clarence. We are talking about the gospel story situates us in an example of just colonialism in its classical definitions. Well, a little bit of personal testimony. I was, well, for the first 18 years of my life, I was born and raised in Hong Kong, having a good life. My needs were met, and I were liked by others, and I liked others as well. And then the decisions, just because of the political uprising of the days back in the late 80s, forced my families and many families to consider leaving everything behind and coming to a new country. And that experience have taught me, if there is one thing, to identify what are the small, less important things I can let go and focus on the wonderful things, the treasure being revealed to me in this a new environment. So, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus, especially in chapter 13, has went into this whole thing about telling parables after parables about the kingdom of heavens, right? Earlier in the chapter, which we did not hear today, he explained what these parables are about. He said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven." So these parables was Jesus' way to show us, unveil these survival skills and survival tips that is normally hidden, not in plain sight, but Jesus is uncovering and revealing this skill to us in parables. Just a reminder from what was talked about last Sunday, Matthew wrote his gospel in a polemic time when the Jewish Christians were being pushed out of synagogues and persecuted. So he used the term kingdom of heaven as in contrast to what Mark, an earlier written gospel, would simply call the kingdom of God. I wonder if Matthew used the kingdom of heaven in such a way because when you are living through times of being persecutions, it is more likely for you to find a way to escape. So heaven become this spiritual place for the followers at that time. They can escape to a better, safer realities, right? But however, consider you and I listening to the same readings today. None of us, or very few of us, I hope to believe, are living in such a prolific times that our personal life are being threatened and persecuted. So to approach Jesus' teaching, it is helpful to return to the Gospel of Mark, the way just thinking it is revealing secrets about the reign of God. The reign of God can be here and now. It is not a place for us to escape to unless you are as rich as Elon Musk and can get on the SpaceX. So There are eight parables in Matthew 13 about the kingdom of heavens. Let's go through them just to clean. What are some of these survival skill things we may learn? 2 weeks ago, the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower, there is this sower that is reckless, is about God, like a reckless sower, just sow everywhere. Some on hard path, some on thorn bushes, totally reckless. Because God just delight in fruit harvesting. The God who loved us and the whole creation into existence by an everlasting love is this reckless sower that just sows everywhere, hoping to get a CC fruit harvesting. And also, we also learned that let's think about how to be good soil. Let's think about how we can live our life, organize our lives in such a way that we be good soil to receive these reckless seeds from the sower that it may grow. Last week, we heard about the parable of the seeds and the weeds. Anybody remember what was some of the things we can glean from? Is a parable about we judge the outcome. I said last week, in the middle of time. We normally judge outcome in the middle of time, but God discerns the outcome at the end of time. God doesn't pull out all the weeds while they first appear. God waits till the very end. And there are times in our life we need to discern to wait rather than to get rid of the problems right in front of our eyes, not knowing the full effects. Mustard seeds, a small and insignificant seed, ended up becoming a welcoming and safe place that all can thrive. The kingdom of God begins small. But it has a purpose. And the purpose is not just to grow big and big and bigger, like the world of consumerisms we live in right now. Let's get more. I need more. I need more. It's not just purely about growth, getting bigger for a reason so that all may find a welcoming and safe place to thrive. And then there is the parable of the leaven or the yeast. What can we glean from it? The yeast is a foreign agent, and when we hide something foreign to us into our community, it may lift the whole community for a better future forever. That is God's dream for reign of God. This is so contrary, particularly with the rhetorics south of the border these days, that foreign are threats to our common good and our common life. Jesus' visions offer a very different reality. These foreign agents called the East, when it is hidden, it lifted the whole community. And what do the leavened flour is for. It is to make bread or to make cake that all may enjoy. And then there is the hidden treasure in the field. Precious treasure worthy of giving up all else. Oh, the hidden treasure in the field and the fine pearls parables are quite similar, right? They illustrate the same things. The wonders of the reign of God is worth us giving us all when we really discover the joy of it. So that would be a delightful tale for the treasurers of churches, because there will be no stewardship talks needs when all are so rejoiced in living the reign of God, that we are able to offer all that we are attached to in order to be part of it. Almost to the eighth, number seven, the parable of the net. It's very interesting in the Gospel of Matthew, the parable of the net, which was not read today, actually, by the way. It's about a parable that a man casts a net into the oceans and that catch big and small fish. And then he harvests the good fish and throw away the evil fish. But interestingly, the same parable recorded in the Gospel of Thomas, there is not good and evil mentioned. It is just small and big fish. And that the fishermen just harvest the big fish and throw the small fish back into the oceans, right? The contrast between Matthew's interpretations and the Gospel of Thomas, which is just a saying traditions, is quite different, right? There is no, instead of the randomness of evil, it is talking about simply honoring who you are and what your gifts are, whether you are a big fish or a small fish. And finally, Jesus ended chapter 13 with a parable of the master of the households who laid out his treasures of new and old. It is a parable to teach followers of Jesus that we are to become interpreters for the kingdom, to bring out both the old and the new, to make room for new things while treasuring traditions. John Philip Newell, in his book, A New Harmony, quoted an ancient Hermetic source, a 12th century anonymous medieval text called the Book of the 24 Philosophers. He quoted this verse that actually may help us to get deeper. This quote is, "God is a circle whose center is everywhere and the circumference is nowhere." Think about it again. God is a circle whose center is everywhere and the circumference is nowhere. Very often, our traditions, even the traditions of the Christian church, have often tried to place fixed circumference walls around the sacred, whether that be the sacredness of the religion itself or new religions, the sacredness of our own nation or the sacredness of our own species, but the sacredness, according to this mystic, is everywhere. The center is no is everywhere. It can be anywhere, and its boundless, the circumference is nowhere. It keep expanding. It may be helpful to return to the prayer of the day, which always is written in such a way to encapsulate, summarize the readings of the day into a prayer. Scandalous God, you sow wheat among the crops, raise bread with impure years, offer treasure without price, cast a net that catches good and bad. Throw down our idols of purities and possessions so that you may reveal in us your wild branching love. Through Jesus Christ, the stumbling block. Amen. To close, I want to share with you this wonderful relational art project that I came across. It was a project in Montreal some years ago called L'automne d'une soupe, while having soup. May I have the next slide, please? So, L'automne d'une soupe, while having soup, is a relational art intervention in public space featuring spontaneous conversations from the general public on the topic of living together. Vera Ensemble. The experience of the it invites just random stranger passing by a public space into having a three-course dialogue, which elevates conversation as an art form, a spur of humanity, and something to be embraced as an inspiring societal act. So what is the starter of the three-course? The starter is meet your dinner companions. So that they pair two strangers together. What is the main dish? So savor your conversations over a bowl of soup. They give them a bowl of soup to enjoy. And the dessert, the third course, is to create and discover a poetic portrait based on your conversations with a stranger over a bowl of soup. Just help you to visualize. Here is an example. They would get two stranger, sit down in it, give them two chairs, give them a bowl of soup, and ask them whether they would be open-minded to have a conversations with a stranger over a topic. Just to give you an example of a topic, it can be as simple as, how do you define the concept of home? Is it an experience? Is it a place? Is it cultural? How many generations does it take before you call a place a home? So the stranger, the pair of strangers who sit down and chat, and when they finish the bowl of soup, they would agree on a few words that they can put onto a card and take a picture together. And the relational art is a collage of all these pictures. So it's a mobile project that they moved, that they tour around different public spaces in Montreal for a whole year. An example of the poetic arts is on the next slide. Just give you a sense. So for some, It says, welcome in peace, migrants, process on beauty, opportunities. So it's as simple as that. This a project, a relational art project like that, demonstrate that understanding helps us heal. I think if Jesus were here today, Jesus would love to see a lot more of these among us in a time of deeper and deeper divisions in our society, that we engage in opportunities to foster dialogues to so that it builds understanding that heals our world and pave the way for the reign of God here and now. May it be so. Amen.